The people took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." On these words, we pray God's blessings as we meditate this morning. Friends, don't you love Palm Sunday? After 5 weeks of singing those rather somber hymns, of hearing sermons about crucifixion and repentance and sin, a day of joy comes, and the children lead us in, and we celebrate the glory that finally we get the chance to give to Jesus the glory he deserves. It is an exciting and joyful day. It's perhaps like the first Palm Sunday, maybe a little premature, all in God's plan. And yet Jesus, as he comes into Jerusalem with all the joy and the praises of the people, still has his mission to accomplish, still has the cross and death to suffer, still has our salvation to procure. And we also, this week, still have the chance to hear again how great the love of God is for all of us as we witness again the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But these words, Hosanna, that we've been singing, what does that mean, Hosanna? Are there words in English, our language, to express what the people so joyfully cheered so many years ago? Perhaps maybe you read the sign out front of the church this week. I put it out there as a clue to you. What does it mean? Anybody?
God save us now.
Thank you. God save us and save us now. Yes. From Hebrew and Aramaic, help me, save me, I pray, and do it now, O Lord. An acclamation of a person who needs salvation. Now, these people on the way into Jerusalem were happy because they were going there as pilgrims from other parts to celebrate the Passover in the holy city. I suppose for Americans, maybe a little bit like going to Disney World, only for a different reason. Not to indulge yourself and necessarily have a good time, but to meet with your family together, to journey to a place, but to meet with God. And as they went, they didn't have so much to give to Jesus. They didn't have the keys of the city to give him. Didn't have a sword that they could carry ahead of him. They didn't have a convertible to put him in to drive him through the street. But they gave what they had. They gave their praise. Save us, O Lord. You are blessed by us, and you are blessed by God. You are a king. You are the son of our ancient king, David. And this whole thing with the donkey, it's rustic, it's, you might say, kind of cute, but what is that all about anyway? Of course, there's this prophecy from Zechariah saying that the king of Israel will come on this lowly donkey. But there's other rides in the Bible. King David's son, his actual son Solomon, had quite a ride. In the Song of Songs, it describes his chariot. It says that it had a golden chassis, and it had silver posts for him to hold on to, and it had purple upholstery. Sounds like something off Pimp My Ride on TV for BC times. Quite a vehicle. And yet God certainly could have provided an even greater ride for Jesus as he is to be crowned that week. But this son of David rides a donkey, and a young one at that. He who would say, "My kingdom is not of this world," demonstrates that in the way that he travels. And so we looked for him just as he came in simple fashion to his enthronement in Jerusalem on the cross. We look for him in the simple things today, don't we? The simple things that he provides. The simple things that are here with us today. Simple bread, simple wine, simple water and simple words. The palm branches today, don't you love them? I feel like I'm in a jungle up here, but it's something different. And the palm branches remind us today of the little crosses that sometimes people make. They fold these up and they save them. As a child, I remember up in the wall of my room, we always had the palm branch all year. It got all dried and crispy. But we'll save them. And then next Lent, 11 months from now, we'll get those palm branches and we'll bring them here and we'll burn them. We'll make ashes out of them. And we'll put that on our heads, perhaps. To remind us that our joyful praises again become the tears of repentance. Our exuberance today, very shortly, will turn to sorrow. For we know why our King comes to be enthroned on a cross. He comes for sinners, of which we are the greatest. And we know that our obedience to follow God and our joy to praise Him and say, oh, save us and we will follow you as our King, we will not be able to fulfill that promise even very shortly. We will fail our King. But He is merciful. And He comes to bring us forgiveness. He comes to go forth to fight in battle against the spiritual forces of evil. Yes, these palms were a part of Israel's history too, their traditions. Every year they celebrated something called the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And in Leviticus 23, it describes the use of the palms. It says, celebrate for 7 days, take fruit from the trees and branches from the palm trees, leafy branches, and fashion little huts on your property and go out there and live for 7 days. Kind of like a camping experience. And God said that when the people did this, the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren would grow up to know that God had freed them and led them and sustained them in their journey to that land that He had promised to bring them to. He brought them out of slavery and bondage and into freedom. We celebrate with these palms today the end of our spiritual bondage to sin that Jesus will bring in Jerusalem. We look back there as His final battle will take place, taking our sin on the cross. The palms always meant something about victory. Even the Roman historian Cicero said that one who has won many prizes was called a man of many palms. And so the palm is a symbol of coming victory. And we raise our palms, looking back to the first Holy Week, where Jesus, our warrior King, offers Himself in that spiritual battle for us and is victorious. And looking ahead to His second coming, recognizing that we struggle now. It is hard to live. It is hard to live for everybody in these tough economic times, but it is always hard to live as a Christian, faithful to our Lord, because we continue as sinners, yet forgiven. To live as true disciples. But there in the heavenly kingdom, he will be with us, our King, and we will serve Him in joy, and all enemies will be put under His feet. And that's encouragement and power for living today. But along the way, we do face disappointment, don't we? Disappointment that comes, and we think of the palms, but we think, yeah, it's the same every year, and maybe this year is harder than last year. Well, I have a story to leave you with today, a story of a boy. As he was young, once said to God, God, I know what I want to be when I grow up. And he proceeded to give God his list. He said he wanted to live in a big house with 2 big St. Bernard dogs. He wanted to marry a tall, blue-eyed woman and to have 3 sons, one who was a senator, and one who was a scientist, and one who was a quarterback. And he also wanted to be a mountain climber and to drive a red Ferrari sports car. Well, as it turned out in this boy's life, he hurt his knee, so he couldn't play football, let alone even climb a tree. And he could not climb his mountains that he wanted to. And he married a beautiful and kind woman who was short with dark brown eyes. And because of his business, he had to live in an apartment in the city. And he usually rode the subway. And he had three children, three loving daughters, one who was a teacher, and one was a nurse, and one was an artist. And one day in life, he woke up, and the first thing he thought about was that dream he had when he was a little kid about all the things he wanted, and he became really depressed. And so, heartbroken, he said to God, "Oh Lord, don't you remember when I was a boy and I told you all the things I wanted? Why didn't you give me those things?" And God said to him, "I could have, but I wanted to make you happy." Someone else said that life is a grindstone. Whether it grinds you down or shines you up depends on what you're made of. And we say that if you are made of faith that looks to God, who through adversity and through his own suffering brings you the forgiveness of sins and the knowledge that he is always with you, no matter what the world says or what happens, then we are polished, very shiny. The palms of his passion remind us that God loves us and suffers for us and will raise us to that eternal victory. These are his promises. And this, my friends, is his blessing for us this Palm Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.